Let us begin this service by singing 300, song number 300, When Peace Like a River. It is well with my soul. Psalms 27, here it says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Up to here, these precious words. Also, we have come to again be blessed, to again hear what God has to say to us through his precious and good Holy Spirit and through his word, which he will address to us. And we know he at all times he has to say something to us. And we want to hear and we want to do accordingly. Before we continue, let us stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are coming this evening before you. Not all could come, Lord, but Lord, he who could come has come, Lord. Lord, you know the hearts. You know how to satisfy the desire. You know our longing. More of you we would like to have. More of the Savior. More. Lord, we believe. If nobody can give us something, but you are able to give us everything. And therefore we are coming to you this evening. We worship you, Lord, from the depth of our hearts. Lord, we are so happy that we may be your children. We know, Lord, you are our light and our salvation. You have become everything to us. We worship you and we ask you for your help, for your leading, for your guiding. Lord, we praise your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Continue to be with us. This is our prayer. Bless my brother when he brings your word, and bless your word mightily in our hearts. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks. I don't want to forget to extend the greetings. Brother and Sister Gutekunst could not come. They would have liked to come, but there's too much snow there, and so they could not come. But they are sending greetings to all of you. Praise and thanks be to our God. Now perhaps the singers will sing, and then afterward Brother Frank will speak to us. The blood of Jesus washes away all your sins.
Thank you.
Thanks be to the Lord for the privilege that we can be here again to worship, to hear the word of the Lord, and to let ourselves be blessed again. I'm still under the impression of the news which we received that Brother Ernst Strauss went home. When I heard this yesterday morning, it went through marrow and bone. And we can imagine how the family, Sister Strauss, and also the sons, how they feel like now. Man just needs to have a short conversation with them, and then one knows how such people feel. And when one almost says that one would understand them, then these are just words. But we want to remember them in prayer tonight in a special way. The old timers, if I can use such a word today, they can remember the meetings on the Karhof. I think they were 1968. At that time, in South Germany, they were very important for the breakthrough of the end-time message. Many came from near and far, and they have heard the word of God. Brother Strauss, he received us as one just could be received. He took care for everything. He slaughtered cattle and accommodated us and fed us. He did everything what was possible. At the New Year's Eve, it's just 1 month ago and a few days ago, he was still here with his family. I've seen it on the picture, Brother and Sister Schneider. You were sitting very close to him. And I just went through the pictures of the love meal, and I saw him there sitting. And today he is no more here. I see also Brother Molz here. Also, his wife passed away. One can feel a bit if one went through this all. And I promised that we remember the bereaved in prayer. And this we want to do. I think we should just stand up for it. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts for all whom you called, whom you pardoned, whom you saved, and also for them whom you have taken home already. They are resting of their works. Thank you, O God, that they preceded us. And also we, very soon, we may follow them. We ask now for those who suffer the loss, for all who sorrow, for all who mourn, for those, be nigh to them, be nigh to the precious sister, be nigh to the sons, nigh to the mother, nigh to all the relatives, be nigh to them. Comfort them in their loss, in their pain. O God, we ask you, may you also use this Tuesday to speak to many, to call them, and that you can pardon them. Lord, bless us this evening. Sanctify your name in our midst. Sanctify us through your word, through your blood, through your spirit. May you yourself come to your right, beloved Lord. We place this meeting under the protection of your blood, and we ask you, speak to us as a father speaks with his children, with whom he means well. Make us obedient children, so that you don't have to be angry, so that you don't have to punish, and so that you are not fed up with us, but in love, that you can speak with us, to sons and daughters, on which you have joy and well-pleasing. Help us tonight by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The burial will be on Tuesday at 14 hours. I don't know whether for some it will be possible to be there. Although on Wednesday morning at 7:20, I will depart from Düsseldorf to Korea. I nevertheless, on Tuesday, I will fly to Stuttgart and then preach at the funeral service, and then returning, and I will have just a bit time to pack my suitcase and to start my next trip. But you know me, or some of you know me long enough. My heart hangs on God and on His own more than many can think of. For me, most are as spiritual children, and so I look at them, and I want that they stand their ground before God, and they can see His face. When I think in our Brother Molz, his wife, she said, and if only one soul will be saved through my death, then everything was worthwhile. And today I heard of the wonderful salvation of a young man who is 23 years old. I don't know whether he's here. He's already here. God bless him. This makes us happy. Also Brother Kupfer, he gave testimony there at the funeral, and God has given grace. It's a great privilege when people in this time are becoming believers. Oh, this is something very great when a soul is pulled away from the enemy, when it crosses from death into life. And if the angels in heaven rejoice about it, that one soul is saved, shall we not also rejoice with them? The same joy which is in heaven is also on the earth amongst those who have been saved already. And so, we are grateful to the Lord for everything with all our hearts. I'm not able to preach now. At this weekend, there will be no preaching. Whoever wants to hear a sermon, he can play the tape of last Sunday from Zurich. You all know how it is. One has to have a word of the Lord. Today, we want to have fellowship with one another and with God. And perhaps coming to the thought that we become well-pleasing to Him so that He can bless us more than before. Not only temporal blessings. This many can show, perhaps in a greater measure than we who we are here today. But something remaining, something which touches our innermost being, that transforms us, that remains throughout eternity. You all know the speaking of the Lord will accompany still a couple of time. Gather ye my people, with whom I made a covenant by sacrifice. And this statement, gather ye my people, the people of God, is not gathered around a man, not around a doctrine which he represents. Yeah.
Das ist alles vorbei.
This is over.
Der Herr stellt seine
the Lord claims
auf sein Volk,
his people,
auf seine Kinder,
his children,
mit seinem teuren
which, whom he redeemed with his precious blood. Although we cannot hear it acoustically, he just calls out, let my people go. It's mine. They shall serve me. I gave the sacrifice for them, which was enough once for all. They are free. I paid for them. I suffered. And I paid the price fully. They are mine. This is the thought which touches me very much. We are purchased with a high price. We are God's, and this to a very specific purpose. Not that we live for ourselves, but that God can live through us here, that we not serve us, and that we don't look on ourselves complacent, but that God can look on us being well pleased. The enmity was of course abolished. The middle wall of partition was taken away. Fully reconciliation and redemption was given to us. I think I said it last Sunday in Zurich. Somewhere the reason must be, the cause must be, why the divine blessings cannot come down on us as it was in the early church. And this can, the cause can only be that we didn't grasp Calvary in the deep meaning by faith. And there are really people who with their guilt and sin are all of their lives like in a carousel. They go round about every day, the whole life, without understanding that Calvary has answer this question. This riddle was solved. The divine answer was given. It doesn't have to come still. In the moment, namely, where we, although it if it would be tonight, if we really would fully grasp Calvary by the Spirit of God, fully understanding it, then we would be beside ourselves. Something would happen with us. One could not hold us anymore. The heart would jump over. Our burden would be laid upon him. We would recognize the chastisement was on him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. But it's true that the believers, all of their lives, work on their salvation. And when they are on the deathbed, they have no assurance, no certainty. And 40, 50, 60 years, they were believers. And this is the matter in which, in fact, all the cause is why God cannot bless as he wants to bless. With him, nothing changed. He just is as true as he was. He's almighty as he was. He's so mighty as he was. He saves. He heals. And whoever is on the microphone shall go away there. If I become I can control myself. Thank you. I would like to remind you something, namely on Abel. Abel was the first who gave God a sacrifice, and this sacrifice was well pleasing to God. And the Lord looked down on him and on the sacrifice. I may just read this now from Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. I would like today to line out this thought tonight, that the one who sacrificed, every time he identified himself with the sacrifice, he knew that he is guilty, and in the same way he knew that the lamb which he kills and sacrifices, that it is innocent. The guilty one gave the innocent sacrifice in his stead. And this in him, it caused an inner contrition, an inner remorse. It caused something. He knew you belong there. You deserved what is now happening on this lamb. But by a God's ordination, by his statute, he permitted that the lamb was sacrificed, and that the one who sacrificed can go out freely. This was God's preparation and was done according to his plan in all of the Old Testament. And every time when some man of God, somebody, has built an altar and brought a sacrifice on it, then God looked down graciously. Then the fellowship with God was established. Just simply established of the fact that a reconciliation took place by the blood which was sacrificed. And this reconciliation with God established the fellowship with him. And the one who sacrificed was brought into connection with God. Here with Abel it says, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, well pleasing. Whoever remembers the preachings of Brother Branham, he knows that Brother Branham has said, right in connection with Abel, that biblical faith is a divine revelation. Biblical faith is not that what we make up here upstairs. Biblical faith is revelation of the will of God in your and in my heart through the Holy Spirit. Biblical faith is divine revelation about the will and the requirements of God at that moment. And this was time and again the case. All men of God who had faith, they also with the faith, they had the divine revelation of that, what they had to do. And they did what God told them. And I think I said it yesterday or today. The answer which God gave to Moses was wonderful, and which he gave to Abraham and Elijah and all the prophets, or Paul and all. This answer was something wonderful. But you and I especially, all of us, we need a personal divine answer. And then we are again at the thought that God in a prophetic time has a word of prophecy for the church and for every individual which belongs to the church. And if we already know now that we are living in a prophetic age and that we received and believed the prophetic message, then it must become a divine revelation of his will, so that by faith can be done what God requires from us. Because faith without works is of course dead in itself. And dead faith one can just bury. Otherwise, it will not spread a good smell. We need the living faith in the living God. And it came up there where God with the individuals or with all of his people has spoken, revealing his promises. There the living faith came up in the living God, and also the connection of his people to him. On Sunday I was very grateful because in a couple of moments there was a direct connection to God. Who was there on Sunday? Who was there? This was a wonderful thing. I wished myself that this would always come like this. And it's not always coming, but that it truly could be there always, would be there always. But you cannot imagine, you have no idea what happens in such moments when God gives the connection from above, establishing it in such a way that one has it. Not that one seeks it, that one has it. And this is already a piece of heaven on this earth. I'm confident. We just read it in the word of introduction. There it says, the last two verses, praise God. I'm sure to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And your heart be, he shall strengthen that heart. Wait, I see on the Lord. One can read it. Whoever waits for the Lord, his heart has much reason to be of good courage. And if it is written here, praise God, I'm sure, praise God, I am sure. And this, we just have to say, all of us. And the confession will also help us. We must have the courage with our lips to speak out that what we believe with our hearts. Namely, only then something will happen. One has to recognize the biblical way, walking it and also doing it, what God is well pleasing. Praise God, I'm sure to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, already in the land of the dead, this is a bit late. And what comes after what is anyway not in our doings. As long as we live, we want to see the goodness of the Lord. We want to experience his grace. We want to be of good courage. Another place, the psalm writer says, what can men do to me.
And our Lord says,
don't be afraid of them who can kill the body, but who cannot kill the soul. So it's about your and my soul. And this is eternal life. Although a sword pierces the heart, it will not reach the soul. It's so hidden. It cannot be even found by death. Death. Yes, the soul will be in the glory of God. And so we can really look up to God confidently. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. Seek in my face my heart, say it unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. These are very wonderful words. The thought which touches me very much is that one. From God's side, everything is done. There's no doubt about it. The work of God, which happened on the cross of Calvary, is above every doubt, above every unbelief, in fact, above everything what wants to be against it. That what God has done is and remains done forever. But we must now, and that's what it's all about, we must now avoid everything what damages the atmosphere in the midst of the church, even just a little bit. If there was ever a time in which we should bridle our tongue, weighing our words, and everything what belongs to the cause of the church, and it's always the same, in the least and in the greatest, no matter in which area, everyone should hold on to the bond of peace at all costs. He should think twice before he speaks once. And when that he wants to say does not serve for the edification, does not serve for a blessing, then he should rather bite his tongue and not saying it. This time is just too serious now. Since the 28th of December 82, I just have it in my heart to say it over and again, that we should not, we cannot go on as we did until now. We must consider to only speak those things which serves for the edification of the individual and for the edification of the church. Everything what causes trouble and sorrow comes not from God. Everything what causes, what brings strife and dispute doesn't come from God. You can tell me 100 times, this is right, this is right. Yes, it might be right. So many things are right. But the question is whether he is right who says it. This is the question. It must not only be right what we say. Firstly, the one must be right who says it. If it's not right, who says it? If he's not right, then the woman, what she said to Paul and Silas, she said, these are the servants of God which show you the salvation and so forth. This was correct, 100%. Most believers would have taken it as a divine legitimation of these two servants. But a Paul, he had the Spirit of God in his heart. He not only heard with his ears, but he let the Spirit of God speak. And I wished that we and all of us, from now on, that we would let the Spirit of God speak. Also, that what is being said, if it's right, then it doesn't mean the one is right who says it. And I say it once again. By every man, by whom any kind of strife comes, or some kind of disagreement, some kind of trouble, find your way to the altar of God. Find your way to the altar of God. Every man, every one of us, who finds out that through that what he says, some trouble comes up. Find your way to the altar of God. Let your tongue be circumcised, and God will bless. We cannot expect that God is in any disagreement among the believers. And you might say, oh, these are all peanuts. 10 cents make 1 Deutschmark. It doesn't have to be always the 100 bills, banknotes. One can add up the sum with some peanuts. And it's not the great things which come down with the hammer like us, but the small foxes which spoil the vineyard of God. And I know it precisely. I don't want it, and we all don't want it. On the day of Pentecost, the believers were one heart and one soul. They were in one accord. They were in prayer. And I speak today like in a small talk with you. I can just say it with a fatherly heart in the presence of God. Because I care for the church which he purchased with his blood. I would like, on a Wednesday night, I would like to look at the telephone bills, how much they are, and how many conversations take place which don't profit anything and which are not for a blessing. Beloved, the time is here. And when Paul says, if any man speaks, let his oracles be the words of God. If anyone has ministries, let him do it in the power which God gives. If anyone speaks, then let it be for the edification of the church. Everything what we have in mind, we have to our self-reliance, not our stubbornness. This doesn't fit here. It belongs also to it. We must give up our self-reliance. And we, as a whole, we must be put together, joined with one another. That the one with the other feels with the other one, as every member feels the pain of another member. And Paul expresses it in 1 Corinthians 12. When one member suffers, then the whole body suffers. Today, one can suffer, and the other one says, oh, it happened, and walks on. Where's the hurt? Where's the pain? Paul says, where does somebody suffer and I don't suffer with him? Where was someone hurt and the pain didn't affect me also? It must become different. And now we come to the point. The prophetic teaching, we could well receive like a letter rain above us. We could, but that what shall now come forth is of course not a teaching as such, about which we can speak later on and perhaps even some discuss about it. But what now comes is not given that we speak about it, but that it happens in our hearts. that God can work something amongst his people, really something new, that we can say, by the grace of God, I've become a new creature. Brother Branham uses in the one sermon the example, he says, when I take a wheat corn and lay it into a cockle barrel, how many are on the farm? How many know what a cockle barrel is? Yes, there are some things around it. But if one takes the wheat corn into this cockle barrel and then puts the cockle barrel into the earth, then nevertheless a wheat comes forth. The cockle barrel rots, it dissolves into nothing, and the wheat comes forth well-pleasing. We must understand that the divine seed brings forth divine seed. And when we cannot collect grapes from the thorns and not figs from the thistles, that what was laid as a seed into it will and must come forth again. And we of a truth, we have sown the true word of God, planting it, and it will come forth for the glory and for the praise of God. But we must identify ourselves with the sacrifice on Calvary. Here it is no more about a teaching. Here it is about an experience with God. An experience which we can make, which we must make. What does Brother Brand say in the two sermons, the token and the desperation? How wonderful he lines out this thought that the people in the Old Testament, after bringing the sacrifice, they went away as they came, because the life of the animal which was shed could not come back on them. And then he draws the comparison and says how totally different it is with the Lamb of God, which blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. His life comes back on everyone who was redeemed by the blood, and it's divine spiritual life. Another place in the Old Testament, I looked it up from Exodus chapter 30, from verse 1, and then perhaps verse 6. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon of shittim wood. Then comes the, now verse 8. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Where I will meet with thee. Not only the altar should be built, right on that point, on that place, it should be built where God wanted to have fellowship with him who sacrificed. With him, there, he wanted to meet him, speaking with him. This was the purpose of this occasion. It's written in verse 7, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dressed the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. In the morning and in the evening. Not in the course of the day, not in the course of the night, in the morning and at evening. In the beginning and at the end. Alpha and Omega. Here it is about the sevenfold candlestick. The seven candlesticks symbolizes the church. Here a sacrifice was given. And every time when the lamps should be lit, when oil should be filled up, then it had to be seen after the sacrifice, because God wanted to meet his people there. We have read about the seven church age messages. We were rejoicing about it. And we said, oh, it was never revealed like this until now. All the believers in the most, all the believers didn't hear it throughout all the 2000 years as we hear it. That's correct, yes. And for this we are also grateful to God. But now we are coming to the point. We can know everything about the seven candlesticks, about the seven church messengers. We can know everything, all these things. We can know them inside out, reciting where they are written. But we must understand the context. A church came up by the sacrificial lamb. The Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this church makes up the candlestick. And in this candlestick must be oil. The light must burn. And morning and evening, the sacrifices were given. And the lamps were lit. And the oil was filled up so that they don't extinguish. Here the Lord met his own. Here God spoke. He came down. He answered. And the man who sacrificed, every time he came back with the answer from God. But now I read you the verse which really touches me. Since Sunday, I read it to you from Hebrews chapter 10 to show you the comparison from the Old and New Testament. Hebrews 10, verse 2 and 3. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Did you read it? In the Old Testament, the people went, they sacrificed, and when they sacrificed, they were reminded on their sin. And they went again away, and they came back again, and they again were reminded on their sin. And they went back, and they came again, and sacrificed, and they were again reminded on their sins. Now we are coming to the point to show the difference between the blood of the lambs, which reminded on sin, that the sin was in some kind of covered, but it was not taken away. It was not abolished, not forgiven. But as written, I read it once again. Because that the worshippers once purged should have a remembrance again made of sins. I'm asking you, I'm asking us, when we come into the presence of God, do we have then the remembrance to our sins? Or do we have the remembrance to the justification by faith, to the forgiveness of our sins, to the redemption. In the Old Testament, the people were reminded on their sins. They knew exactly that because of that, I'm sacrificing now. And they were reminded on their sin, on their deed, on their guilt. And then they went away again. And it remained like this. And next year they came again and did the same. But with our Lord, something totally different happened. We shall no more be reminded on our sins and then going home with the old plague in our conscience and with the trouble in our souls. The good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the crucified one shall you and me remind you on you and my forgiveness, on you and my salvation, on your and my, that we just get happy. If we just remind on the sin, I beg you, who shall become happy? And therein is the cause. Although I don't say, thus is the Lord, I tell you tonight, therein is the cause. We didn't understand Calvary fully yet. We are coming under the preaching of the word. The Spirit of God punishes us. We are convicted of sin. And then we see our sin, our guilt. And then instead of being delivered, we are oppressed and depressed, and then we go home. Is this good news? Is this the gospel? Is this worthy of our God? Beloved, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified one, must from now on come show divine fruit. This must now come, and we are not here to be reminded on our sins. We are here to be reminded that the Lamb of God was slaughtered for our sins and that they are forgiven once for all. If we can believe this, then everyone gets happy. Then at the end, nobody remains who still lives in the Old Testament and just being reminded in the service on his sin and then bowing his head and goes home. And the Lord looks sad down on us as he wanted to say, "My people, I made the covenant with you by sacrifice. I've put your sin and guilt upon me. The chastisement was on me. You are free." Why is it written at the Lord's Supper, "As often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, ye proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes"? It's not the reminding on the sins, but the remembrance on the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. This became so great to me. Why shall God's people be gathered? Why did God make a covenant by sacrifice with us? To just remind us to the Old Testament. And it says, because the worshippers had no conscience of sins. Just read these two verses again under prayer. When the effect of the blood which was shed in the Old Testament already could purge the conscience, forgiving the sins, then the worshippers, I read it once again, They do know it. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made. Did we understand this? I'm not preaching tonight. These are not things to preach about. This one has to pass on from heart to heart. If the guilt of these worshippers could have been purged, then they would not have had a conscience of sins anymore, not walking away burdened, but they would have been justified. Now referring to us in the New Testament, right, this took place, that the worshippers in the service are not having a conscience of sin, not a feeling of guilt, not walking away with it. Totally different. They shall walk away with the assurance of faith, going from the service, that their sins were forgiven, their guilt was atoned, and that everything was settled. Now we read from Hebrews 10 on, namely verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. One could read on here. By the bringing of one sacrifice, and I tell you why. The sacrifices in the Old Testament, and if there will be thousands of thousands, the offerings, yet it was the blood of animals, the blood of the lambs, all the shadows, these were shadows, until the Lamb of God would come. And all who sacrificed by faith, they were conscious of their sins. And with this feeling of guilt, they went away again with the hope to the Messiah, who would atone the sin, blotting it out with us. It is totally different. When we are in a service, and when God comes to his right, then we see Calvary as it is, and we see a perfect sacrifice lamb, which brought a perfect sacrifice, making a perfect covenant, giving a perfect redemption, perfect salvation, to prepare a perfect people which would serve God and which is his possession for time and for eternity. What does God's word and spirit work in you and in me? Are we just reminded on sin? Do we just have a feeling of guilt? And with this we go home then? Or do we find peace with God? Forgiveness of our sins. Perfect atonement and salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then tonight, all of us, we can go home from the service happily. Then the question of guilt was solved once for all for you and for me. Then the question of guilt is never anymore on the agenda. Then we understood that the letter of requirements is torn into pieces, and that the middle wall of partition was taken away, and that the enmity was abolished, that on Calvary a perfect redemption took place for the people of God. God made an eternal covenant with us by sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Not to remind us on our sin, but to remind us that the Lamb of God became an offering for us, atoning for us, giving us forgiveness, grace. Whoever grasps this, who doesn't grasp this, lives in the condition of the Old Testament. He comes into the service, hears the word, and guilt upon guilt comes upon him. Like hammer blows, it comes over him. And we sit here, and then we go home. I tell you tonight, very clearly, God is not interested in it at all to show you and me every day our sins, as we sometimes do, as people who... Our God is rejoicing when his people understand how expensive the price was and how holy the blood of redemption was, which was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. And if we grasp it today by faith, then we are totally different from the Old Testament people. And maybe we are different than all the other churches. Believe me what I say, I never lied to you. Now God wants to make the difference between him who serves him and between him who doesn't serve him. Between him who belongs to him and between him who doesn't belong to him. Between him with whom he made the covenant and with whom he made not the covenant. He requires his covenant people to believe him. And I tell you, until last Sunday, I didn't know that such a word is written here in Hebrews chapter 10. And as the Lord gives an instruction, so he gives also the words for it. When I heard the voice there, "Gather ye my people, with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice," I told it to you. All of the 28th of December, I pondered upon it, and always something said to me, like a similar word, there must be a similar word written in the Bible, but only on the 29th, I looked up the Bible, and all of a sudden, after some searching, of course, I came to Psalms 50, verse 5, and I know, it is the word of the Lord, the command of the hour, the requirement, which now is valid. We received the teaching. There will be no prophet anymore, which is important in the plan of salvation. But God had to say to us, he said everything to us. Now he wants to speak with us so that he can personally manifest himself amongst his church. And beloved, if we grasp this by faith, then nobody will walk away here with the conscience of sin and say, "Oh my God, surely your word hit me. I know I did this, I did that." Then all this will turn, and then we go from here and we say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that all my guilt is forgiven." This question is settled once for all. And I tell you already today, God didn't wait for you and my answer. God has given it himself. God atoned. He made all things well on the cross of Calvary. We are free. He took our place so that we can go out freely. The proclamation of the gospel shall again be a happy message, a good news. How many can believe it? That God doesn't want always remind us and tormenting us. He wants to make us happy. He wants to show us that we are saved and say, look at me as the crucified one. There I bleeded for you. I paid the price. Everything was made well. The chastisement, I bore them. You may go out freely. And so even the worst can become happy in the presence of God. May the Lord bless this word in all of us. May He give grace that we break through the sonic wall of unbelief, because the enemy wants that we deal with ourselves. He wants that we, and there's no coming forward. When we look up to the Lord, when we put our trust in Him, then we are helped. Be of good courage. Hope in the Lord. Don't despair. He will help you. And He will also help me. He will help us all. Let us from today on, from every sermon, let us receive forgiveness, redemption, grace, and salvation. Hearing it. And if sometimes feeling of guilt comes upon you, then only for the reason that you come up by faith again and say, Lord, also this was forgiven, also this, all the guilt is atoned, and thus alone will we walk forward by faith. Be honest. Do we not many times sitting in the service and the feeling of guilt came over us, and with this we went home, and didn't we also receive great blessings, and then they faded away again, simply because we didn't fully grasp Calvary yet? God will still give us some lessons, showing us from His word how our stand is in His presence and how it must be before He really can manifest Himself. Do you think we are open for the moving of the Spirit when everybody sits here with a guilt, sitting here when everyone is tormented by his sins, not coping with it? Do you think this is a condition in which God can bless? No, and again, no. Before Pentecost can come, Calvary must become manifested in our lives in its full meaning. We have sung many times, Wonderful Calvary, but let us sing it in a new light. Let us sing it with a new knowledge, with open eyes, anointed eyes. Wonderful Calvary. My guilt is paid for, my sin is forgiven, and so forth. Wonderful Calvary. Just be happy in that moment, namely, where somebody is encumbered with debts, very encumbered with debts, and somebody comes and pays your debt. Listen, must it be said to that man whom his debt was paid for? Must you say to him, be happy? What would be with such a man? Oh, my goodness. I remember. It doesn't fit here. I remember the currency reform. Some were so much in debt. And when then everything was over and they didn't have to pay anything anymore, then for them it was a good thing. Everything was paid for. Everything was paid. Beloved, this is no comparison at all. With God, everything was settled. Everything was paid for. The guilty one is no more guilty. The sinner is no more sinner. The lost is no more lost. The sinner, the lost one, they are all saved people. God made a covenant with us by sacrifice. And he says, gather ye my people with whom I made the covenant by sacrifice. And this shall now happen. This will be a red thread throughout the coming months. And God will gather his people. God, the victory of Calvary, he will manifest the victory through the redeemed. Don't think that God will owe us an answer. No, the answer was given already in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, to all the redeemed. In him, all promises of God are yes and amen. And this we believe tonight with all our hearts and with all our souls. Please, don't go from this building with a feeling of guilt, with a conscience of sin. Go from this building with the assurance the guilt is forgiven, the sin was atoned for, the price was paid for, the letter of requirements was torn into pieces. We are God's own inheritance, purchased by the precious and holy blood of the Lamb. May God bless us tonight, and may he give us this view of light over Calvary into glory. And suddenly something breaks forth in us like a flower, and we recognize the divine seed comes forth unto life. The divine seed is in us. Now he wants and must come forth unto life. Oh, if you could just jump and jubilate already, if you could just worship already. I know there's so many troubles yet, but when our personal matter is in order with God, then all the other difficulties will no more be problems. Believe me, the matter, you and my matter with God, is number one. And if this is in order, then all the catastrophes and all problems can come upon us. Then, although we are stoned like Stephen, I see heaven open. Hallelujah. This was it. The connection with God was there. And I think all the everything else was outwardly the stones. The connection with God, nobody could dissolve. And the same shall happen with all of us. God made the covenant with us by sacrifice on the cross of Calvary with his people. He has thrown our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He has forgiven, he has atoned, he has given salvation. Dear brother, dear sister, let it be said to you today, God claims you and me. He claims us all. And he says, I redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. I've forgiven your sin. I've atoned your guilt. You are a child of God. Today, we shall not be reminded on our guilt. Today, we shall be reminded on the forgiveness of our sin. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be to our God. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Just as I am, without one plea. Your blood washes me free from sin. O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you.
Wonderful Calvary. Wonderful Calvary. My sin is forgiven. My guilt is paid for. Wonderful Calvary. Hallelujah, the sin is forgiven. I am a child of God, free from all sin, just as children are. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, forgiven is all sin. I am a child of God, free from all sin. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for your speaking in this hour. Lord, you knew what is with us. You know us. But we know, Lord, you were the sacrificial lamb once for all. The price was paid for. The price was paid. The redemption took place for my sin. You bleed it. We receive it by faith tonight. In this hour, from this hour on, we believe with all our hearts. We are your people. You redeemed. You redeemed us. Even the enemy is very angry, yet we know the victory is finished. You cried out on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. Lord, this we believe with all our hearts, and we thank you for your word, that you made us attentive to it, that we are redeemed and we remain the redeemed. Praise be to your wonderful name. We worship you and we glorify your wonderful name. Praise be to you. Praise, honor, and glory. Lord, we thank you.